This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
I said it earlier in the show. I turned the TV off last night after the game to preserve my blood pressure, which was high yesterday at the doctor's office. Did Schilt say anything in the presser after that I didn't hear?
Not really. We have some audio. I listened to it. It was fairly innocuous, benign. Yeah. Innocuous. Frustrated. Yeah. Frustrated to waste the last three good starts. Starting pitching, Angels played clean, really clean baseball the last couple of days. To the Angels. Yeah. They have played good baseball, better than the Padres have the last couple of days.
Much.
They don't have any stars, but they certainly have not shot themselves in the foot.
Nope.
Once, really, in this series. Yeah. And give them some credit for that. I won't alibi that. I'll give them some credit for not shooting themselves in the foot. Padres should still be good enough to beat an Angels team.
Yes.
That's not making mistakes, though.
Correct.
You can't just wait for other teams to make mistakes to win all your games.
Correct.
Please do. When the other team does, gladly capitalize and take advantage of it. Say thank you very much. Try not to do it yourself and give away wins. Padres have made more mistakes than the Angels have the last couple of days.
Yep.
Some key walks by the pitchers. Couple of
base running,
a throw yesterday that brought Donovan Solano off the bag. Padres have made more small but important errors and important misplays in this series compared to the Angels,
yep,
who really have not done as far as I can remember really anything egregiously wrong in the last 2 days.
No.
Ron Washington's probably pretty happy with his team.
Great challenges from Wash, knocked those out of the park.
And that was kind of a key moment. So Washington challenged that early play at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And watching on the TV broadcast, I agreed with Don and Mudd. I didn't think it was
enough to overturn.
Could he have been safe? Yeah. But it was really close. I couldn't quite tell where his foot hit the bag compared to the ball. He was called out on the field.
Ball's got to be in the cylinder of the glove.
It touches the leather. Okay. So I figured they're just going to say this call stands. Not confirmed, but I wasn't expecting overturned. And by the way, that was critical because in the Yuki Matsui inning, they also called the runner out at first base. He was definitely safe on replay, but had they not won that first replay challenge, they would not have had another chance to challenge. They would have had to accept that bad out call at first base, and it would have been a runner at first and one out, and possibly a very different inning and without the rally that came. So it was, the little tiny things, the decisions do come back and make a difference later in the game sometimes.
Yep, indeed.
All right, we'll get back to the Padres and look ahead to the series finale, perhaps a little bit later. Right now, though, we've got Paul Reindl back. He's been in Las Vegas. He's probably overloaded with stories for the Reindl Report that he wants to talk about.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Reindl Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Reindl Report. With Paul Reindl.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindl Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood?
dude, I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
All right.
Welcome back, Paulie.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will get started here. It's the Rhino Report brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. Frozen Ropes is now registering ball players age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information. Let's see. Gentlemen, can I get basketball Ben Higgins to the podium, please?
Hello, I'm awake.
Got a report here that the Lakers might be closing in on J.J. Redick.
What?
As their next head coach. J.J. Redick, former solid NBA player. He's really been making headlines as an analyst for
good
ESPN.
Analyst,
He's been really, really good over the last couple of seasons
Smart dude.
Yes.
I feel real dumb when I watch him speak.
Right, but he does it in a way that makes you understand the game from his point of view.
He does, but it also comes up. He also comes off as a little bit,
Like, I'll compare it to
football. Not arrogant, but a touch like, you really don't know that? You really don't get that.
Why? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, we talk about, like, Tony Gwynn all the time when he was coaching kids.
Of course.
College players.
Like, just do it like this.
Just do it like this, you guys. Like, we're not you. We can't do that.
Right.
Tony Romo, I think, does that a lot on the broadcast. He's very smart, and he's got the knowledge, obviously, to commentate on the games. But
pompous, that's the word.
It's a little pompous, yeah. So J.J. Redick could be, and it's looking like that this will be the case, going to be the next head coach for the L.A. Lakers, Ben's L.A. Lakers.
How many, give me their last four coaches.
The last four coaches before Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham.
Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel. Luke Walton, J.J. Redick.
Maybe, let's see. I may be missing one in there at some point. It sounds like it's coming down to either the outside the box choice of J.J. Redick or the safer choice of James Borrego, who is the former Charlotte Hornets head coach, was a USD assistant back in 2001 to 2003. You know, J.J. Redick is you know, he hosted a podcast with LeBron James. It's the same age as LeBron James.
Oh, that's cool. I mean,
so cool.
Now
it's
now he's got his foot in the door.
Is it problematic? Yeah, are people just going to say, this is LeBron
Ben
pulling the strings? LeBron has said,
obviously,
I have nothing to do with this. No one believes him, of course.
Don't you?
Is it bad that LeBron is pulling some strings? Maybe you want LeBron to be pulling some strings. To me, I mean, if you want me to sell you on J.J. Redick, who was the last analyst who became head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Pat Riley.
Worked out really, really well. He was an outside-the-box choice.
Badass.
Was doing the radio call with Chick Hearn, as we all saw if we watched Showtime.
God, I miss
Winning
Showtime.
Time.
Winning Time. So, missing so much.
And it worked out really well. That was an outside-the-box choice. I lean toward, what are you really expecting from the Lakers? Go with something a little different. Try J.J. Redick.
Okay.
See what happens.
Certainly
I'm all right with
certainly
it.
Certainly a more exciting hire.
I'm not expecting them to win the title next year.
Okay.
Everyone's getting older. They don't have any draft picks for the most part. They got one. They got to keep this year's draft pick. Are they going to use it on Bronny? I don't think so, but who knows?
All right, we'll move on. This is kind of a basketball story, at least. A former basketball player. So, you know, you see this with high school and college athletes, they'll play multi-sports, and then, you know, when it's time to go pro, it's time to pick one. You rarely see somebody give up one professional sport, and then, you know, they might go hit the golf course recreationally with their friends, or even play in some pro-ams, but rarely do you see a guy quit one sport and then excel in another sport, and that happened for a local guy, Chase Buttinger, from
La Costa
North
Canyon
County.
High School. Yes.
So I think we talked about this several years ago. He retired from professional basketball and became a professional volleyball player. Well, he has punched his ticket to the Paris Summer Olympics as a beach volleyball player. And I just thought that was interesting. You see a guy that goes from the top of his craft in the NBA to a completely different sport. And he's not just playing it for fun or even on some low-level tours. He's now in the Olympics as a volleyball player.
Yeah, I remember at LCC, he was a phenomenal basketball player, obviously. Went on to, Arizona and then the NBA. But he was also an
an all-CIF volleyball player for the Mavericks as well, and he had to focus on basketball, but he could have gone into, easily gone into, you know, volleyball, but there wasn't, you know, a ton of money in volleyball, so he made the smart choice to go with basketball. Obviously never lost the love of volleyball and is still, you know, athletic and jump out of the, you could jump out of the gym in basketball. Now,
yeah, the two sports do complement each other.
Serves him very well on a volleyball court, you know, to get up there and spike away, very athletic. And I'll be cheering big time for Chase Bunninger at the Olympics in Paris in beach volleyball this summer.
Must be nice to have
that talented
to be
and
athletic. Just that athletic. Like, I'm just going to try this, do this. Not try this, but I'm also going to dominate this.
I think he's always like, bar conversation, you know, oh, what would LeBron James look like in the NFL if he's a tight end or something? You know, multi-sport athletes are between at that high a level. And I just thought, oh, good for him. Local guy.
Yeah, there you go.
And now he's going to be competing in the Summer Olympics. Finally, I got a wild story here. The headline just reads, let's dive into this here. So Elon Musk has this company called Starlink, and I think the goal there is to provide internet access and technology for the entire world.
Okay.
And we're starting to see how it's going to work because a remote tribe in Brazil was given access to the internet for the very first time. And they acted like 13-year-old boys, every single one.
So the first time they've ever seen internet, given devices and shown, this is what you need to do to access whatever.
Technology.
Whatever technology.
I mean, it's something that is so just natural to us.
Sure.
So it's a 2,000-person tribe, 2,000-member tribe in the Amazon rainforest, the Marubo tribe, living along a river, and they were given, they were connected to the internet late last year. They dropped 20 antennas in their
area,
yeah, their forest, and got them all connected onto the internet. And the tribe leaders have had to put time limitations on everybody.
Yeah, just like we do, yes.
They've noticed that everybody's developed group chats. And the men have become very obsessed with pornography.
Who would have guessed? Who among us could have guessed that?
They're hooked on nature, apparently.
They're hooked on social media. Oh, all they do is stream videos and watch dirty videos. They're like 13-year-old boys.
Like Mud Grant is showing you clips of videos that they like. That's what they're doing now in the Amazon jungle.
That is insane.
Yeah.
But not
who could have seen that coming?
Not that surprising at all. I'm so worried about that with my kids. We have all the parental...
What, they turn into you?
Yes. Well, they can when they're older. I'm worried about 9-year-olds, you know what I mean? Like,
you can turn into me, just not yet.
Yeah. When you're of age, I can't stand in your way. You're going to be an adult.
Tribe leaders said they had to immediately institute time limits because nothing would get done otherwise.
That's incredible.
Would society be better if social media was just not invented? Yes. Didn't exist.
100%. Unquestionably. Unquestionably.
If there were no cell... Would you go back to no cell phones at all?
I could not do that. Nope.
But no social media.
Yeah, social media would be... The world would look so much better, and we would feel so much more together. The divisiveness that is social media is...
It's also connected a lot of people that have been lonely and found... You know, people that they would have never found before. What did we have?
Rent-a-friend for that. You could have gone and gotten that, and you're fine. You don't need social media. I just think, I'll just speak for myself. I'm full-on addicted to it. Full-on. No question. When you see me with my phone in my hand, I'm scrolling Twitter or Instagram or something. Like, I'm full-on addict. Shocker. I think we probably are.
What would you be doing otherwise, though? Let's say, you know,
in a perfect world, take it away. Well, I did it for a few months last year, and I played the guitar more, and I read more, and I, like...
Were you happier?
Yes.
You were happier.
Massively.
You weren't bored to tears most of the time.
I felt FOMO like crazy.
Yeah?
You know? I mean, it was kind of around, like, trade deadline stuff was happening. You guys were telling me about it. I was like, I don't know. I didn't hear about it. I felt unprepared. Like, I couldn't do my job.
Yeah, that's part of it.
But I just don't have a good governor, you know, on I'm just going to give myself 15 minutes and then I'm out. I mean, it's hard to even watch a baseball game because I'm just looking for people's insane comments the whole time as I'm watching the game. It's part of the experience of the game for me.
I think you're afraid of missing something. I'm afraid of missing something.
Yeah.
You don't want to be foolish that you don't know something everybody else does, so you have to be on social media.
Deeper question here from Tim. Would we be better to be fans with no sports radio and no internet? Yes.
Yes.
I wonder if the teams would sign up for
that. It's a great question.
Because I don't think you create the passion of Padres baseball.
I don't think so either.
Without us, sports radio, and the internet, and the communities of fans that are helped by technology. They help grow. Technology helps grow. Padres Twitter, it's a great community of Padres fans.
Sure.
Yeah, they can be doomers, but it's a great community of fans. I would hate to take that away.
Yeah, I would too. But all of those doomers would be so much happier if they weren't on...
They wouldn't be doomers.
They wouldn't be doomers. You could be doomer, you should doomer in your home. Home dooming.
I mean, I remember growing up and following the Padres religiously, which usually involved going out when I got up at 6 a.m., getting the newspaper.
Newspaper.
If I hadn't heard the game, Jerry Coleman calling it on the radio, because I go to bed like 8:30 or 9, and the game was still on, looking at the box score and seeing how everybody did, and being like ready to, like, the dramatic opening of the paper to see if the Padres won in the morning.
Adam says there was sports radio in 1984. Was there? Was there sports radio in 1984?
Not in San Diego, I don't think.
No.
I think it came after that here. Maybe in New York there was.
Yeah.
The very early, early version of it. I think we got it in like the late 80s here. Interesting, Paul.
Philosophical question there. Would you guys be better off without us is the question. The answer is unequivocally no. No chance.
Well, we're not going anywhere, so kind of a pointless question to begin with. I think we make everybody's lives better.
I don't. I had a guy screaming at me this morning. It happens, you know? It's what it is.
Now, I got one of these emails that tried to pitch me on something.
Another bad pitch?
I couldn't disagree with this take more. I mean, this is an insane ice cream take.
Oh, food talk. Yeah. I'm so tired of talking about the Padres.
Yeah, we can talk a little ice cream when we come back. Ben and Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Bye. Polly just reminded me we got to get to the Incorporator, which we haven't played yet. And Jesse did get his Incorporator word in yesterday. So we'll play that in just a second. We also have some Padres tickets to give away for tomorrow night's game against the Diamondbacks. So that is all coming up momentarily. But I did get to this email, and since I teased it, I want to get your guys' take on, what did I get this from? Let's see, journoresearch.org, who says that the most loved ice cream flavor, both in California and across the United States, is...
Vanilla.
No, and that's not a bad guess. And then the other obvious option would be chocolate. And that's not the answer either.
Are they
going to
say strawberry?
No, the correct answer is all three. They said Neapolitan is the most popular ice cream flavor both in California and across the U.S. And I just call complete, utter BS on whatever this study is. Does anybody really like Neapolitan ice cream?
Yeah, no. They also drive just creepy vans.
Just pick one of the three. Yeah. And if sometimes I feel like vanilla, sometimes I feel like chocolate, and sometimes I feel like strawberry. I don't want them all together.
It's actually hideous.
They don't go well together.
They do not go well together. They don't.
They start melting into each other.
Strawberry gets into the chocolate. I don't want that. I just want one or the other or the other. They're all fine.
Vanilla, chocolate, great combo. Vanilla, strawberry, good combo. Chocolate strawberry?
No.
I don't like chocolate covered fruit.
I don't know what either.
I mean?
I don't either.
I don't like it.
I know some people do.
It's certainly not the most popular. There's no chance.
But, I mean, this just can't possibly be the most popular ice cream flavor in the country in California.
I've never seen anyone under the age of 79 or get a tub of
Like the premium, like the ice cream, the best ice cream shops, the Ben and Jerry's and stuff.
Sure.
They don't even make Neapolitan.
Of course they do.
Because why would they? Because no one likes it.
Who's this person? Let's get him on the phone tomorrow. I want to actually call and be like, you know what? I'm calling all of your research is BS.
Let's see, the experts at... This is so weird. The experts at Affordable Seating,
at Neapolitan.com,
a restaurant furniture manufacturer and wholesaler, have analyzed Google search data for over 100 different ice cream flavors across the United States. Flavors include Neapolitan, vanilla, Superman, chocolate.
What is that?
Strawberry, praline, Rocky Road, watermelon,
pralines.
Rum raisin, bacon,
rum raisin,
and more.
God, kill me. Spumoni is really good. That's a different... Somebody said that in the chat. That's like a Neapolitan, but
it's
different.
It's so
good.
I hate Spumoni. I don't like Spumoni. It's got little bits in it, doesn't it?
I'm not a big fan
of the bits.
Cherries and nuts in it. Delicious.
Yeah, no thanks.
All right.
No, thank you.
No nut skin for you.
Nope, not for me.
You don't get caught in your throat again.
You can have all the nut skin you want.
Potentially.
Spumoni is third in California.
Of course it is, because it's delicious.
Neapolitan... Vanilla, Spumoni, Rocky Road, and Ube,
is Superman?
I have no idea what Superman is.
Superman. People in the chat are like, Superman's the best. What are you talking about?
I think AI just generated this email just to tick me off somehow.
All right, I'm going to look up Superman ice cream.
I've seen that before. It's colorful ice cream.
Oh, that kicks ass.
It's like a sherbet, I thought.
Are you going to say that correctly, or are you going to say it incorrectly?
It's like a sherbet.
That's correct.
Is it correct?
It's not sherbet.
It's sherbet. It should be sherbet.
Wait. What are you guys talking about?
The word is sherbet, isn't it?
No.
Yes.
Sherbet ice cream. S-H-E-R-B-E-T.
Yeah, it's sherbet.
Sherbet. Not sherbert.
Sherbert.
Sherbet.
Justin Herbert. I got it. Yeah, it's sherbet. But you sound like an idiot when you say sherbet.
Can I have the orange sherbet?
There's no second R in sherbet.
There's not.
It's not sherbet.
Now there's sorbet, but it's not called sorbet.
That's
ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like it's very hard. I've got a kid that's learning how to read, and it proves very difficult every single day. Did you think it was sherbet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sherbet. Unless there's some weird silent R that's not even in there.
There's no R in the word.
It's not even in there. It's not like it's spelled sherbet and you don't pronounce the R. It's just sherbet.
I mean, if you search sherbet,
It'll come up.
It says, sherbet, often referred to as sherbet. Yeah. Frozen dessert made from water, sugar.
Like me before.
A dairy product and a flavoring.
Exactly.
I made
how is it not ice cream? I don't really know.
I turned our Vegas trip into a gelato tour.
Oh, I love gelato.
Gelato's nice.
Big fan.
I don't really know how to describe the difference.
Gelato.
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 Yeah.
How do you describe gelato? Is it? It's not soft serve.
So they remove more of the air from the frozen dessert product to make it denser. And I think that can give more a little more flavor and changes the mouthfeel a bit. All right, let's play the incorporator. Jesse Agler, speaking of weird words, axisthmus was the word we gave to him. What was the definition? It was pretending not to care about something.
Correct.
When you really do care about it.
It's like feigning. Hang on. Axisthmus. I'll give you the definition, in case you missed it yesterday. A form of irony in which a person feigns indifference or pretends to refuse something he or she desires, right? Do you want me to help you wash your car? Oh, no, I would never ask you to help me do that or something like that.
Axisthmus.
Axisthmus, yeah. It was a tough word and a tough definition.
It was, for sure. All right, so how did Jesse land this one?
We go to the seventh inning, top of the seventh inning, Jackson Merrill at the dish.
Here's a swing and a miss, 2-2, as Merrill went after the high fastball. A little bit frustrated there. I think he didn't like the previous call, and then he swung at a pitch that he didn't want to. Knowing that it might have been called a strike, sort of looking back at the home plate umpire, Ben May, in a schismous way. Like, all right, that's how it's got to be,
That's great usage.
Are you sure?
2-2 the pitch.
I think so.
It's a noun. He just did it as an adjective.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I think in terms of like a batter looking like
an schismous
he doesn't
way,
care, yeah, but maybe. Does care, you know.
Then he swung at a pitch that he didn't want to. Knowing that it might have been called a strike, sort of looking back at the home plate umpire, Ben May, in a schismous way. Like, all right.
Maybe just a look of schismous on his face.
Yes, yes, yeah,
as
maybe.
He stared down the umpire.
Like, it was a really tough word.
I don't care that you just called a strike on me, but I do. I really do care.
Yes, yeah.
Tough one, though. Very tough
very
one.
Tough.
I'm ruling that one a win for Jesse Agler.
Yeah, okay.
Another win for Jesse Agler. All right, speaking of the Padres, we have a pair of tickets to give away to tomorrow night's homestand opener against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Start dialing right now, 833-288-0973. Fifth caller, going to get a pair. It is the bobblehead night for one Xander Bogaerts. First 40,000 fans going to get a Xander Bogaerts bobblehead. If you want the whole collection, well, and you got the first couple already, you want to get this one too, so this is your chance to win. 833-288-0973. Give us a call, win the tickets now, and we'll be right back. Final segment, get you ready for Annie and Elston next with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All right, we have a winner of the Padres tickets.
Yes, Brandon.
Brandon, congratulations. Everybody else, thank you for calling. Better luck next time. No, wait, I hate that expression. Better luck next time.
Yeah, it's like backhanded.
It's positive, but it also seems very dismissive.
Yeah, it does.
But I just don't have Padres tickets for everybody calling in.
So. Better luck next time is really kind of jerkish, if you think about it. Hey, better luck next time, pal. You know?
Because your luck was bad this time.
Sorry. Better luck next time.
It wasn't bad, necessarily. Someone has to have very good luck to get in just at the right moment to be the fifth caller.
I think
that's tough to do.
It's like if the Angels walked off the field last night and said, better luck next time. You wouldn't feel good about that if you were, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. or Mike Schilt. Ron Washington looks across and goes, better luck next time. That's not a wish of, oh, I really wish you good luck. It's you're being a jerk when you say that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, straight up.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I know it sounds that
sounds
way.
Sounds jerkish. It's a great phrase.
It's genuinely.
Adam says it's a great phrase. It is. It's a really good better luck next time. But
I wish you better luck next time.
Right.
If I say it like that, does it sound more genuine?
Yeah. Hey, I wish you better luck next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
But if I just say, better luck next time.
Better luck next time. You've never said that in your life and meant it meanly. Ever. I have. Time's a game. Same time.
6:38.
Why?
It's a good question. Usually getaway day games or afternoon games. But I do think that baseball teams recognize that they can get more attendance at night games, and because the Padres don't have to go very far or get on a plane,
make them stay.
They're making them stay later in the day to play another night game, even though they don't have an off day tomorrow.
Right.
normally, if you don't have an off day, they insist on a day game before travel. But I guess they've decided that the travel is short enough that we're just going to help the Angels with their attendance by making it a night game instead of a day game today.
Then back in the bus, down here for...
No, I'm sure it's good for a lot of Padres fans who have to work in the afternoon and would rather go home and watch a game at 6:38 tonight or listen to a game at 6:38 tonight here on 97.3 The Fan.
I was really looking forward to an afternoon game, but I guess that's not in the cards today.
All right, we will... this is... I mean, there's no
must-win must game.
There's
no must-win. No, it is must-win.
This is a very much need-to-win game for the Padres. We'll talk about it after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Brandon makes a good point in the chat. He says, well, would you rather drive down the 5 at 4 o'clock after the game or 10 o'clock after the game?
Yeah, no doubt.
Going to definitely be less traffic.
No question.
At 10 o'clock tonight. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Share your memories from the 50s to the 90s for the Let's Go Retro Photo Contest at the San Diego County Fair. Your winning photo could win Best of Show and a VIP Fair Access Package plus a $500 Visa gift card. Entry deadline is June 9th. Learn more at sdfair.com. Today's game, no excuses. I mean, the last 2 days, they were going against lefty pitching. Had a rookie starter last night.
That's not even an excuse.
That wasn't. It's not a great excuse, but you had at least something. Tonight, you're going against a righty who has had, by the way, pretty decent numbers in Jose Soriano. Is 2-5, but he has a 3.86 ERA, which isn't bad. But you got Dylan Cease on the mound against that Angels lineup. If you get swept here, it is definitely consternation time.
Dire. Yeah. Dire straits.
Even Mike Schilt's not going to be able to say much.
You can't if you get swept here. You just can't. Like, you can't. No one is going to buy it. And you can love your guys. It doesn't mean you don't love your guys and have their back, but you got to. You know what I want to see? I want to be a little bit inspired by the guys tonight. You know what I mean? That's what I want. The last two nights have been excruciating watches. Just not exciting baseball games by any stretch. So just a little bit more inspired baseball today from the fellas, certainly. And Dylan Cease needs to, we've said this before, he's been in this role. I feel like he's been the guy that we've needed to staunch the bleeding the last couple times out, I do feel like.
And, stopper.
And it hasn't gone well. It hasn't gone poorly in one case, but it hasn't gone extremely well. So that is a lineup that he needs to absolutely handle today.
So we know that five times this season, the Padres have won the first two games or three games of a four-game series or two games of a three-game series and failed to complete the sweep. How has it gone the other way? Well, the Padres lost the first two to the St. Louis Cardinals in April, but then did win
the
third game of the series. They lost the first two games to the Toronto Blue Jays and did win the third game of that series on a Sunday. They lost the first two games to the Philadelphia Phillies, got swept in that series. Lost the first two games to the Colorado Rockies, got swept in that series. And lost the first two games to the New York Yankees and did salvage the final game of that series.
Yeah.
So they are, 2-for-6 in getting swept and 4-for-6 in avoiding the sweep.
So if I was a betting man, and I am, I like the Padres today.
You should like the Padres today.
I like the Padres today. It says that it should be favoring the San Diego Padres today against the Angels, but they've also been favored the last two nights
Padres
as well.
Padres are pretty heavy favorites.
Yeah, they are. They are. Minus 157. Yeah.
And according to this, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is not a Don and Mud Padres TV game.
No.
It's FS1.
It's an FS1 nationally televised. That could also be why it's a night game then.
That's true.
For the FS1.
Who's on FS1?
I don't know who is the FS1 broadcast. Usually it's the same as some of the Fox guys. Can be like
tonight,
Smoltz and
Wednesday.
Davis. Could be. But
not listed.
That's a problem because I don't get FS1 in my office for some reason. That's a problem.
Padres did have a move yesterday.
Guess I'll just listen to Jesse.
Yeah, listen to Jesse right here on 97.3 The Fan, home of the Padres. Padres did make a move yesterday. You saw this. The Astros acquired minor league right-hander Nick Hernandez from the Padres for cash. And I tweeted yesterday, first step, acquire more cash. And they did that. So you need to wonder, what is A.J. Preller acquiring cash for? Spent a good portion of the morning talking about some potential moves that may be out there. They will need cash. You can always, this team is a little cash poor right now. But Nick Hernandez actually had pretty decent numbers down at AAA. And I don't know. I don't really know the reason behind it other than you're going for somebody a little bit bigger profile. Yep. Make sense?
Yeah, I think you're overthinking a little bit.
You think so?
Well, I mean, if... Unless Nick Hernandez is in your plans.
Right, which I don't think he is.
Which I don't think he was. And you can get something for him, even if it's cash. Go ahead and get him. If someone's calling, my guess is the Astros who originally employed him looked and said, God, look what he's doing right now. We'd love to get him back. And they called AJ and said, hey, AJ, what do you need right now? And AJ probably looked at their minor league system and goes,
stock my vending machine.
I don't really see anything, but we could... I mean, we could always use some cash. You know, we're trying to stay under the luxury tax, whatever, you know, give us some cash.
I wonder if A.J. Preller made the phone call and is now trying to get a little bit of a, you know.
I don't even know if minor league deals apply when it comes to, like, the luxury tax number, though.
To pay a salary that you might incur?
I mean, I don't know. Is A.J. Preller getting on the phone with Eric Kinsella like Brad Pitt in Moneyball with Steve Schott, the owner,
I'll
going,
pay for it.
Well, then I'll pay for it. But when I sell him back, and I get to keep the profit the next year. I haven't got the sense that even with the payroll reductions that it's gotten to that level with Padres ownership where they're just saying no. I mean,
no, and it was cash. It was not international slot money.
No, it was just cash.
Straight up cash.
Yeah.
It's wild. That wild you can be traded for cash. I'll trade you for cash right now.
Is that an insult for a player?
Yes, I think so. I think it would be. Sold for money? Prostitute. Your card's over there, Paulie, got you.
No, I don't see Nick Hernandez on any of these or what the price tag would be. How much cash do you think he got? I mean, what's a reasonable number to sell a minor league player for?
What is a reasonable number to sell a human being for? I have no idea what the market yields.
$50,000? Is that way too much? Is that not enough? I don't know.
I feel like that's enough.
I mean, you don't own the player in perpetuity.
You own their rights.
You just own their baseball rights. So you're not selling the person. You're just selling baseball rights.
Well, that's semantics there, the way you're looking at it right now. I don't know. I think he's, adding to the fun.
No idea. I have no idea what... like a reasonable amount is in a situation like this. Cash considerations.
Cash consideration? I have no idea.
Are they still considering it?
Okay. Somebody just DM me. It's $10,000. Okay. And then they said it's not a baseball-related decision. I don't know what that means.
$10,000.
One of my sources. It's very vague.
Kevin Towers once traded a player for... Padres didn't have the best equipment in their weight room and wanted to improve it. So he traded a minor leaguer, I believe... for like a Nautilus weight machine for the weight room.
Not the money to go buy.
No, it's just the machine.
Somebody loaded it from what team? Do you remember?
I don't remember which team, if anyone remembers in the chat.
Hopefully it would be like the Angels, somebody that's close by, and they can run it down the five. But if it's
the
like
Red Sox,
the Red Sox, like, Christ. All right, we gotta lug this Nautilus across the thing.
Traded Sean. Oh, no, wait. It's not a weight machine. Traded Sean Mulligan to the Cleveland Indians for a treadmill.
It's the most insulting thing I have ever heard in my life. If I'm what's his name?
Sean Mulligan. Oh. Yeah. And a used Woodway treadmill.
Used?
Used treadmill.
Oh, my God.
And there was some cash in the deal, which they invested in
$37. Paulie, can you get him on the phone? Sean Mulligan?
Sean Mulligan got traded for a treadmill in 1997, it sounds like.
Has he recovered from that? Because that is a tough look. I didn't know. I didn't really get that you could do that.
Well, I mean, traded for stocking a vending machine as part of a deal.
What could we? That was like a throw-in. He said, "I also want you to stock my vending machine."
This might have been somewhat of a throw-in. I mean, there was cash involved.
What could we get barter-wise for Ben? Barter, like a car.
What do you think
I
could
barter
car?
You for
need a new Keurig.
You need a new Keurig?
No, I'm saying we need one for
the station.
What the hell could we get for you?
Where are you sending me?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Whoever's ever got the best
offer. Ben has to move out to Lemon Grove. We trade him for a truck or something. Wonder what I could get for you.
But you're only trading my radio rights. So I assume you have to trade me to another radio station somewhere else.
I'm going to need...
Brandon says new ping pong table.
We have a ping pong table.
We don't need one. That one works.
Do not need one. All right. Well, listen, go Padres, and let's have a better show tomorrow with, talking about a victory.
A win, while essential, doesn't really change the conversation.
It really doesn't.
It just is, yes, you did what the very minimum that you needed to do, not get swept by the Angels, is not going to be reason for a celebration on the show tomorrow. A loss is definitely reason for lots of anger and probably more hand-wringing and some rationality, too, I would think.
The good news is tomorrow we'll have an extra hour to talk about all of it on the Padres Roundtable, my first in many weeks.
You going to stick around for that? Is that your plan?
Am I going to stick around for it? Is that enough?
You haven't done a roundtable in 3 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks. And I was...
But we didn't have one 2 weeks ago, so you haven't done one in 3 weeks.
I haven't done one in 3 weeks. Yeah. Why? I was ill. I do apologize.
I know.
You asked if I'm going to stick around. Is there an option not to?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right, well, 5 hours of Padres baseball tomorrow. I would really like a win to discuss. Not that it changes everything, but it would certainly brighten the mood. Excuse me.
It would not increase the despair.
Correct.
It's not going to brighten the mood. It's just It's not going to increase the despair level.
I'll be in a better mood. I can sell that.
You know what?
I can sell a win.
A game above 500 feels a lot better than a game below 500.
I can sell a win tomorrow. I can sell it.
Please.
I can sell it. 100%.
The question is, how do you sell Dylan Cease losing to the Angels and getting swept?
Calling sick.
That's
how I do it.
That's a real tough sell.
That is a tough one. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
It's good to have Pauly back today. We will have a throwback Thursday tomorrow. Some real or fake, as we always do. And 5 hours on the airwaves, including a roundtable. Annie Nelston coming up next for Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. We have a winner of the Padres tickets.
Yes, Brandon.
Brandon, congratulations. Everybody else, thank you for calling. Better luck next time. No, wait, I hate that expression. Better luck next time.
Yeah, it's like backhanded.
It's positive, but it also seems very dismissive.
Yeah, it does.
But I just don't have Padres tickets for everybody calling in.
So. Better luck next time is really kind of jerkish, if you think about it. Hey, better luck next time, pal. You know?
Because your luck was bad this time.
Sorry. Better luck next time.
It wasn't bad necessarily. Someone has to have very good luck to get in just at the right moment to be the fifth caller.
I think
that's tough to do.
It's like if the Angels walked off the field last night and said, better luck next time. You wouldn't feel good about that if you were, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. or Mike Schilt. Ron Washington looks across and goes, better luck next time. That's not a wish of, oh, I really wish you good luck. You're being a jerk when you say that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Straight up.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I know it sounds that way.
Sounds jerkish. It's a great phrase.
It's genuinely.
Adam says it's a great phrase. It is. It's a really good, better luck next time. But
I wish you better luck next time.
Right.
If I say it like that, does it sound more genuine?
Yeah. Hey, I wish you better luck next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
But if I just say, better luck next time.
Better luck next time. That You've never said that in your life and meant it meanly, ever. I have. Time's a game. Same time.
6:38.
Why?
It's a good question. Usually getaway day games or afternoon games. But I do think that baseball teams recognize that they can get more attendance at night games. And because the Padres don't have to go very far or get on a plane,
make them stay.
They're making them stay later in the day to play another night game, even though they don't have an off day tomorrow.
Right.
Normally, if you don't have an off day, they insist on a day game before travel. But I guess they've decided that the travel is short enough that we're just going to help the Angels with their attendance by making it a night game instead of a day game today.
Then back in the bus, down here for...
No, I'm sure it's good for a lot of Padres fans who have to work in the afternoon and would rather go home and watch a game at 6:38 tonight or listen to a game at 6:38 tonight here on 97.3 The Fan.
I was really looking forward to an afternoon game, but I guess that's not in the cards today.
All right, we will... this is... I mean, there's no
must-win
must
game.
There's no must
no
wins,
it is must-win.
This is a very much need-to-win game for the Padres. We'll talk about it after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Brandon makes a good point in the chat. He says, well, would you rather drive down the 5 at 4 o'clock after the game or 10 o'clock after the game?
Yeah, no doubt.
Going to definitely be less traffic.
No question.
At 10 o'clock tonight. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Share your memories from the 50s to the 90s for the Let's Go Retro Photo Contest at the San Diego County Fair. Your winning photo could win Best of Show and a VIP fair access package plus a $500 Visa gift card. Entry deadline is June 9th. Learn more at sdfair.com. Today's game, no excuses. I mean, the last 2 days, they were going against lefty pitching. Had a rookie starter last night.
That's not even an excuse.
That wasn't. You know? It's not a great excuse, but you had at least something. Tonight, you're going against a righty who has had, by the way, pretty decent numbers in Jose Soriano. Is 2-5, but he has a 3.86 ERA, which isn't bad. But you got Dylan Cease on the mound against that Angels lineup. If you get swept here, it is definitely consternation time.
Dire. Yeah. Dire straits.
Even Mike Schilt's not going to be able to say much.
You can't
if you get swept here.
You just can't. Like, you can't. No one is going to buy it. And you can love your guys. It doesn't mean you don't love your guys and have their back, but you got to. You know what I want to see? I want to be a little bit inspired by the guys tonight. You know what I mean? That's what I want. The last two nights have been excruciating watches. Just not exciting baseball games by any stretch. So just a little bit more inspired baseball today from the fellas, certainly. And Dylan Cease needs to, we've said this before, he's been in this role. I feel like he's been the guy that we've needed to staunch the bleeding the last couple times out, I do feel like.
And, stopper.
And it hasn't gone well. It hasn't gone poorly in one case, but it hasn't gone extremely well. So that is a lineup that he needs to absolutely handle today.
So we know that five times this season, the Padres have won the first two games or three games of a four-game series or two games of a three-game series and failed to complete the sweep. How has it gone the other way? Well, the Padres lost the first two to the St. Louis Cardinals in April, but then did win
the
third game of the series. They lost the first two games to the Toronto Blue Jays and did win the third game of that series on a Sunday. They lost the first two games to the Philadelphia Phillies, got swept in that series. Lost the first two games to the Colorado Rockies, got swept in that series. And lost the first two games to the New York Yankees and did salvage the final game of that series.
Yeah.
So they are, 2-6 in getting swept and 4-6 in avoiding the sweep.
So if I was a betting man, and I am, I like the Padres today.
You should like the Padres today.
I like the Padres today. It says that it should be favoring the San Diego Padres today against the Angels, but they've also been favored the last two nights
Padres
as well.
Padres are pretty heavy favorites.
Yeah, they are. They are. Minus 157. Yeah.
And according to this, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is not a Don and Mud Padres TV game.
No.
It's FS1.
It's an FS1 nationally televised. That could also be why it's a night game then.
That's true.
For the FS1.
Who's on FS1?
I don't know who is the FS1 broadcast. Usually it's the same as some of the Fox guys. Can be like
tonight,
Smoltz and
Wednesday.
Davis. Could be. But
not listed.
That's a problem because I don't get FS1 in my office for some reason. That's a problem.
Padres did have a move yesterday.
Guess I'll just listen to Jesse.
Yeah, listen to Jesse right here on 97.3 The Fan, home of the Padres. Padres did make a move yesterday. You saw this. The Astros acquired minor league right-hander Nick Hernandez from the Padres for cash. And I tweeted yesterday, first step, acquire more cash. And they did that. So you need to wonder, what is A.J. Preller acquiring cash for? Spent a good portion of the morning talking about some potential moves that may be out there. They will need cash. You can always, this team is a little cash poor right now. But Nick Hernandez actually had pretty decent numbers down in AAA. And I don't know, I don't really know the reason behind it other than you're going for somebody a little bit bigger profile. Yeah, makes sense?
Yeah, I think you're overthinking a little bit.
You think so?
Well, I mean, if unless Nick Hernandez is in your plans,
right? Which I don't think he is.
Which I don't think he was, and you can get something for him, even if it's cash. Go ahead and get him. If someone's calling, my guess is the Astros, who who originally employed him,
yes,
looked and said,
well,
God, look what he's doing right now. We'd love to get him back. And they called AJ and said, hey, AJ, what do you need right now? And AJ probably looked at their minor league system and goes,
stock my vending machine.
I don't really see anything, but we could, I mean, we could always use some cash. You know, we're trying to stay under the...
I disagree.
Stay under the luxury tax, whatever, you know, give us some cash.
I wonder if A.J. Preller made the phone call and is now trying to get a little bit of a, you know.
I don't even know if minor league deals apply when it comes to, like, the luxury tax number, though.
To pay a salary that you might incur?
I mean, I don't know. Is A.J. Preller getting on the phone with Eric Kinsella like Brad Pitt in Moneyball with Steve Schott, the owner,
I'll
going,
pay for it.
Well, then I'll pay for it. But right. When I sell him back, I get to keep the profit the next year. I haven't got the sense that even with the payroll reductions that it's gotten to that level with Padres ownership where they're just saying no. I mean,
no, it was cash. It was not international slot money.
No,
it was
just cash.
Straight up cash.
Yeah.
It's wild. Isn't that wild? You can be traded for cash. I'll trade you for cash right now.
Is that an insult for a player?
Yes, I think so. I think it would be. Sold for money? Prostitute. Your card's over there, Paulie, got you.
No, I don't see Nick Hernandez on any of these or what the price tag would be. How much cash do you think he got? I mean, what's a reasonable number to sell a minor league player for?
What is a reasonable number to sell a human being for? I have no idea what the market yields.
$50,000? Is
really?
That way too much? Is that not enough?
I don't know.
I
feel like that's enough.
I mean, you don't own the player in perpetuity.
You own their rights.
You just own their baseball rights. So you're not selling the person. You're just selling baseball rights.
Well, it's semantics there, the way you're looking at it right now. I don't know. I think he's, adding to the fund.
No idea. I have no idea what... like a reasonable amount is in a situation like this. Cash considerations.
I have no idea.
Are they still considering it?
Okay. Somebody just DM me. It's $10,000. Okay. And then they said it's not a baseball related decision. I don't know what that means.
$10,000.
One of my sources. It's very vague.
Kevin Towers once traded a player for Padres didn't have the best equipment in their weight room and wanted to improve it. So he traded a minor leaguer, I believe, for like a Nautilus weight machine for the weight room.
Not the money to go buy.
No. Just the machine.
Somebody loaded it from what team? Do you remember?
I don't remember which team. If anyone remembers in the chat.
Hopefully it would be like the Angels. Somebody that's close by and they can run it down the five. But if it's
the
like
Red Sox,
the Red Sox, like, Christ. All right, we gotta lug this Nautilus across the thing.
Traded Sean. Oh, no, wait. It's not a weight machine. Traded Sean Mulligan to the Cleveland Indians for a treadmill.
It's the most insulting thing I have ever heard in my life. What's the name?
Sean Mulligan. Oh. Yeah. And a used Woodway treadmill.
Used?
Used treadmill.
Oh, my God.
And there was some cash in the deal, which they invested in
$37. Paulie, can you get him on the phone? Sean Mulligan
got traded for a treadmill in 1997, it sounds like.
Has he recovered from that? Because that is a tough look. I didn't really get that you could do that.
Well, I mean, you got traded for stocking a vending machine as part of a deal.
That was like a throw-in. He said, I also want you to stock my vending machine.
This might have been somewhat of a throw-in. I mean, there was cash involved.
Get barter-wise for Ben? Barter. Like a car?
Need a new Keurig.
You need a new Keurig?
No, I'm saying we need one
for the station.
What the hell could we get for you?
Where are you sending me?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Whoever's got the best offer?
Ben has to move out to Lemon Grove. We trade him for a truck or something. Wonder what I could get for you.
But you're only trading my radio rights. So I assume you have to trade me to another radio station somewhere else.
I'm going to need...
Brandon says new ping pong table.
We have a ping pong table.
We don't need one. That one works
fine. All right. Well, listen. Go Padres and... Let's have a better show tomorrow with talking about a victory.
A win, while essential, doesn't really change the conversation.
It really doesn't.
It just is. Yes, you did what the very minimum that you needed to do. Not get swept by the Angels is not going to be reason for a celebration on the show tomorrow. A loss is definitely reason for lots of anger
and probably more hand-wringing and some rationality, too, I would think.
The good news is tomorrow we'll have an extra hour to talk about all of it on the Padres Roundtable, my first in many weeks.
You going to stick around for that? Is that your plan?
Am I going to stick around for it? Is that enough?
You haven't done a roundtable in 3 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks. And I was...
But we didn't have one 2 weeks ago, so you haven't done one in 3 weeks.
I haven't done one in 3 weeks. Yeah. Why? Well, I was ill. I do apologize.
I know.
You asked if I'm going to stick around. Is there an option not to?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right, well, 5 hours of Padres baseball tomorrow. I would really like a win to discuss. Not again, not that it changes everything, but it would certainly brighten the mood. Excuse me.
It would not increase the despair.
Correct.
It's not going to brighten the mood. It's just It's not going to increase the despair level.
I'll be in a better mood. I can sell that.
You know what?
Can sell a win.
A game above 500 feels a lot better than a game below 500.
I can sell a win tomorrow. I can sell it.
Please.
I can sell it. 100%.
The question is, how do you sell Dylan Cease losing to the Angels and getting swept?
Calling sick.
That's
how I do it.
That's a real tough sell.
That is a tough one. Love you guys. Thanks
it's good
listening.
To have Pauly back today. We will have a throwback Thursday tomorrow. Some real or fake, as we always do. And 5 hours on the airwaves, including a roundtable. Annie Nelston coming up next for Paul Reindel. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off of?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.